This morning, we continue in our series in the book of Ephesians. We've been through 3 weeks. This is week four. We're in chapter four. And 3 weeks ago, we learned that before Paul tells us what to do, he tells us who we are. Then in week two, we saw that the resurrection isn't just our future. It is God's power at work in us, through us, right here, right now. Last week, our pastoral intern, Jesse Norwood, reminded us of the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 that we would experience the height and depth and width and length of Christ's love and power, and that we would be filled to the fullness of all the measure of God. I said that wrong, but you get the gist. Ephesians 3, you can pray those words yourself. And today, this morning, Paul's letter turns a page from Ephesians 3 to Ephesians 4. He moves from identity to lifestyle, from who you are to how you live, and he gets real practical. And in three movements that Rob read, Paul tells us, take off the old self, be made new, and put on the new self. And the big idea is this: don't live from who you were, live from who you are in Christ. Don't live from who you were, live from who you are in Christ. And the scripture that Rob read began with an appeal to take off the old self. In verses 18 and 19, Paul describes a life that's cut off from God. And those who are cut off from God, their hearts become hard, their minds become dark. People begin chasing every appetite, every desire, always wanting more, never finding enough. And that describes life apart from Christ, and it's miserable. The Christian life that we are invited into is not simply learning how to behave better or try harder. It isn't learning a new philosophy. It's learning a person. We don't simply learn stuff about Jesus, like facts or information. We learn Jesus, his heart, his character, his way of life. And for three chapters, Paul's been saying the same thing. Christ is in you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. You are no longer who you used to be, so don't live like you still are that old person. The world says, well, just follow your heart. Do what feels right because you deserve it. And more will satisfy. Paul is saying that life never satisfies. It only corrupts. The old self promises freedom, but it delivers slavery. Sin always overpromises and underdelivers. One time, Leanne, Marcus, and I went to eat at Longhorn Steakhouse. We had a gift card, and we ate big. I'm talking appetizers, grilled shrimp. We had bread and salad. We had steak and baked potato and all the trimmings. And then when we were through and our bellies full, we went to watch one of our students at a high school game, basketball, and there in the gym, you know, we saw people we knew, we talked and did the whole thing. And at halftime, I thought, I'm gonna go wash Longhorn Steakhouse off my hands. And when I'm standing there at the sink looking in the mirror, there is this big stain of whatever it is that I had just really enjoyed at Longhorn Steakhouse. And so I tried to wash it off with soap and water and only made things worse. It's like when I went back into the gym, I'm saying, hey, everybody, look at this. And isn't that the way that sin works? I couldn't pretend this stain wasn't there. I couldn't just cover it up. That shirt needed more than my attention. It needed to be changed completely. And that's Paul's point, because we spend so much time trying to manage sin, trying to cover it up, clean it up, make excuses, explain it away, or compare our sin to others. Well, at least I'm not like them. Jesus came to make us new, to clean us up. That's why Paul says, take off the old self. Don't live from who you were. Live from who you are in Christ. Then in verse 23, he says, be made new. And this is the hinge, the real turning point in these verses. Paul's not talking about clothes, and he doesn't say, just try harder. You can do it. He says, be made new in the attitude of your mind. Transformation begins from the inside and works its way out. God changes the heart, renews the mind, reshapes the living of our lives as we journey with him. We call that sanctification. The battle's not with our behavior. It's in our thinking. Because the world says, I'll change my thinking once I change my behavior. But God says, and we pray it every week, I will take from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will give you the mind of Christ and renew your mind. I will put a fire in your bones, and it's my presence. And there is capacity for more. There is more available to us in Christ than any of us have ever realized, imagined, or experienced. The heart might be the engine. The mind is the steering wheel of the soul because you move in the direction of your thoughts. So let me say it differently. What fills your mind forms your life. What fills your mind forms your life. So let's fill our minds with Scripture. And if you don't know where to start, go to our website under discipleship and you'll see the reading plans that we offer for those who don't know where to start. And we read through the Bible in a year and the Gospels in 90 days and the Psalms in a month and we start over. And we just started the Gospels in 90 days and the Psalms for the month of July. And it's not too late to join. Fill your mind with Scripture. Fill your mind with prayer. Please let me encourage you, invite you to pray differently when we're in this space and come to the altar when Diego or I, when we invite you to. Risk vulnerability, be courageous and let our prayer support team pray with you afterwards. Come to Abide on the third Thursday of the month in the chapel and pray. And if you want to talk more about your prayer life, Diego and I would love to pray with you, but fill your mind with Scripture and with prayer and with worship. And please hear me say, church, what we're doing right now is the most important spiritual discipline that we give ourselves to as the body of Christ. We are a living, breathing, dynamic organism. We gather and we scatter. And there is something that happens when we gather that is so much more than the talking head that's on the stage. Please don't reduce it to a checkbox or to the sermon, because the creeds we recite and the prayers we pray and the songs we sing all build to this coming to the Lord's table and receiving in some mysterious way his presence. Fill your mind with Scripture and with prayer and with worship and with Christian community. I cannot say enough about the importance of Christian community in my life as I've experienced it through the discipleship band or the class meeting, places where I do life with people and we are articulating how that's being formed by God, how our soul is in any given state, confessing sin, sharing victories. There is power in Christian community. What fills your mind forms your life. So fill your mind with these things. Take off the old, be made new, and don't live from who you were. Live from who you are in Christ, which leads to Paul's third movement. Put on the new self. In verse 24, Paul returns to clothing imagery. And you remember that stain that was saying, hey, everybody, look at me. Well, when we got home and treated it, it was still there. and we treated it again, and it was a little better. And we treated it a third time, and now that place where the stain was is cleaner than the rest of the shirt. It's still obvious, still stood out. I couldn't cover it up, couldn't wash it away, and eventually I realized the shirt wasn't the problem. I was trying to do things on my own, and that's Paul's point. We don't need stain remover. We can't fix it ourselves. We need to put on the new self. We need to put on Christ, because that's how real change happens. That's how transformation comes. And that's who and how you and I, we were created to be. Last week, Mark Swayze, pastor of Next Gen Ministries at the Woodlands Methodist Church, was speaking to the room from this place. UM Army gathered in the room, 287 students and adults, and he asked, because over and over and over, I heard them myself, people were saying how much they love this week. It's the best week of the year, one of the hardest, one of the hottest weeks of the year. This is the best week of the year. Being used by God, not just to make home repairs for people who can't physically or financially afford to do it themselves, but having real life conversation with the people they were serving. And there was at least one person they served who accepted Christ as Lord and Savior that week. There were others that they served who became closer to Christ that week, looking more and more like him themselves. Why is it that people love this physically demanding, physically draining week? It's because that's exactly what we were created for. That's who you are. It's how you were designed to live your life, putting others first, serving others. And not just one week a year, because it doesn't terminate on us. And all the places that we go, and you know that you go someplace that I don't, and they go someplace that you don't, we're positioned, each and every one of us, to be the faithful presence of God's love right then, right there, in any given moment. Our service, our listening twice as much as we speak, our love, vulnerability, authenticity, that's who you are. It's what you were created for. It's what it means in verse 24 to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what it means to put on Christ. And then Paul gets very practical in the verses that follow. Ephesians 4, 25 through 5, 2. You want to know what putting on Christ really looks like? It looks like taking off falsehood, putting on truth, because every lie builds a wall. Every truth builds a bridge. Church, where are you hiding behind half-truths? Take off unresolved anger. Put on reconciliation, because what you stuff down and bury, it eventually grows. Whose name came to mind? And you know someone did. Take off taking, grabbing, getting, put on giving, because God's grace turns takers into givers. So who benefits because you go to work every day? And I'm not talking about providing for your family or saving for retirement. I'm talking about the people you interact with, the commerce economy you provide, the lives that you have conversation with and relate to. Take off tearing down, put on building up, because every word either wounds or heals. So stop with the gossip. Well, this is just prayer. No, it's not. Before you speak, ask yourself, will this build up or tear down? Take off bitterness. Put on forgiveness. Bitterness tears scabs off, keeps wounds open. Forgiveness lets them heal. So who are you still making pay for something that Christ already paid for? Take off selfishness, put on love, because love always looks like, it always looks like giving yourself away. Church, Where is Jesus asking you to lay down your pride, your preference, or your comfort this week? The Christian life is not just about stopping bad habits, not about trying harder. It's about putting on the new self. Don't live from who you were. Live from who you are in Christ. And the reality is, tomorrow morning, every one of us will stand in our closet. And the Apostle Paul is saying, before you get dressed, put on Christ. Before you walk out the door, put on compassion. Before you put on your shoes, take off bitterness, put on forgiveness. Take off falsehood, put on truth. Take off selfishness, put on love. Because the Christian life is not pretending to be something you're not. It's getting dressed like the person Christ has already made you to be. So tomorrow morning, before you get dressed, put on Christ. Stop living like who you were. Start living like who you are in Christ. Lord, that's our prayer. So I pray that you would give us a vision of a church full of people who are clothed in Christ. And more than putting him on, have him living inside us as if he were walking around in our shoes. God, I pray that you would put people not just in our paths, but in our mind and on our hearts, that we can build relationship with and earn trust and be curious from about how we live and why we are the way we are. Lord, find us faithful as we get practical with all of this, from the youngest to the old. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.